You're listening to the Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week, brought to you by...
Your company name here.
That's right. You could be a proud sponsor of the Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week or our flagship show, the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast. If you're interested in supporting either of our very high-quality shows, just shoot us an email with the subject line, sponsorship, to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. We'll get right back to you. Lord knows, we're desperate for cash. We are back for the 54th answer of the week. I can't believe we've been doing this long.
45th
answer of the week, just like I said. I wish you'd pay attention. And here's how it works. Every week, we ask the question of the week that goes up in the THN forums. My man, Joe Patrick, writes it. Sometimes he bounces it off me first. Other times, just surprises me with something I don't especially like. I actually like this one. Joe Patrick, before we move on, why don't you tell me what we asked these nerds this week?
This week's question, what is the dumbest supervillain plot you can think of? Dumb, silly, goofy, stupid.
I could think of some pretty dumb ones.
Comics, TV shows, cartoons, movies, whatever.
Just about anything. Let's get started here with our buddy Jason Sachs, calling in from what he calls the Seattle area, which could mean he lives in a van.
Does he call it that?
He calls it the Seattle area. Let's see.
It's Jason Sachs calling from the Seattle area. That's at Jason Sachs on the Twitter. I'm going old school, very old school, for this week's answer of the week. I know we all love Stanley and Jack Kirby in a way that's almost painful to people who aren't comics fans. I mean, we adore them, love them so much, almost too much, like we love Keith Silva. But part of loving someone is loving their flaws, and when Stan and Jack miss, they miss in weird, wacky, and totally flawed ways. I'm going back before any of us were born to Fantastic Four number 9, covered in December 1962, titled The End of the Fantastic Four. Now, this is actually a really clever comic book, full of lots of fun to read even now. See, the issue begins with a Submariner watching news on a TV that he has playing in his undersea lair. The reporter on the news reports, "Bulletin! The world-famous Fantastic Four are bankrupt!" Subby, whose little ankle wings are all aflutter over this news, because he has a huge crush on Sue Storm, is intrigued. "The Fantastic Four are about to split up," he says, scratching his mighty chin. "Now, isn't that interesting? So they're penniless, are they? Well, this might be the opportunity that I'm looking for." Things are desperate for Marvel's first family. The FF are inundated by bill collectors, their landlord is ready to evict them, they even have to sell their pogo plane for parts. But wait, a telegram arrives, as Reed says, "It's like a miracle, an offer from SM Studios in Hollywood, $1 million cash to us if we'll star in a movie." So the FF hitchhike, yes, hitchhike out to L.A. and show up at the thriving SM Studios, wearing their blue jumpsuits, of course. And who should they find as the owner of SM Studios? Yes, it's none other than Prince Namor, the arrogant Submariner, smoking a ciggy from a cigarette holder and looking like a big-time Hollywood tycoon. Yes, in order to defeat his enemies and win the love of Sue Storm, Prince Namor, the Submariner, opens a thriving Hollywood studio in one short week. I can't even clean up my comic book room in a week, and here's the Prince of Atlantis greenlighting all kinds of movies just as a diversion. Now that is a superpower, and that is the most ridiculous supervillain plot I've ever read. Thanks, guys. See you later.
I was not aware that the Submariner opened his own studio.
It was the 60s, man. It was the 60s. Shit got real weird.
That's intense. That is intensely stupid, and I totally agree. Oh, I can already tell this one's going to be a lot of fun. Next up, we have Dwight from Chicago. He's calling in on time, and Dwight, man, do we appreciate it.
Hey, guys. Dwight from Chicago. Hope I got it in on time this week. To answer your question of the week, what is the stupidest supervillain plot that I can remember? There are so many, but the one that immediately popped into my head was the original Christopher Reeve Superman movie. Ooh. When Gene Hackman thought it would be a great idea to buy up all of Nevada and then drop nukes on California to make it to make Nevada beachfront property. We were just so enthused by watching Christopher Reeve believing a man could fly and all of that that we didn't think, wait a minute, if you drop nukes on California, won't the radiation make then? So that was kind of stupid. Anyway, that's my that was my suggestion for the stupidest plot point that I can think of. Again, love the show. We'll...
Whoa, we lost him. Dwight, I see you're working, though. Now, to be fair, Lex Luthor wanted to nuke the fault line so California would sink into the sea. He wasn't just going to, like... I don't think he was going to explode a nuclear device above California.
No, but no, his point was that California was going to go away no matter what.
Right.
But he's saying, wouldn't exploding nuclear devices anywhere in the vicinity make... even the stuff on the east side of the fault line uninhabitable?
Oh, you'd still irradiate the hell out of, like, Nevada.
You've always got Otisburg. Otisburg.
And then later on, he wanted Australia.
It's a little place.
Australia!
Listen, Dwight may have taken my answer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It usually doesn't happen until a little ways into the show, but right off the bat, someone took my answer.
Okay, well, maybe you'll change your mind. Maybe you'll something come to mind. Who knows?
I don't think so. I'm not that creative.
It's true. I can vouch for that. Calling all the way from beautiful Battle Creek, Michigan, we got the TD Dubs. Or I should say our very own TD Dubs.
Joe, Matt, happy St. Patrick's Day. It's the TD Dubs calling from sunny southwest Michigan. It is a very warm 32 degrees here today. And I just wanted to call in to answer the question of the week, which is a really good question of the week. And you asked, what's the silliest slash dumbest slash most ridiculous supervillain plot you can remember? And I'm glad that you allowed us the opportunity to complain not only about comics, but books and film. And therefore, I will start with film. And my number one dumbest villain moment is in the 2002 movie Signs by director M. Night Shyamalan. And I give that movie the fifth element. Because Mel Gibson, Joaquin Phoenix, and Little Miss Sunshine, and one of the Culkin brothers fights aliens.
There was a Culkin in there.
Now, my problem with the movie is that this alien invasion was stopped by water. If you're aliens and you can travel across the galaxy, wouldn't you think that during that trip, you would somehow study the planet you're about to invade? And if it's...
No.
A big hole... fear of water, wouldn't you just turn around and go home? Next, Action Comics number 305, 1963. I'm about to attack Joe's beloved boy, Superman. This is the time of the Comics Code Gestapo. I'm sorry, the Comics Code Authority. Uh-oh. This one was titled, Why Superman Needs a Secret Identity. So when you open up the comic and you get to the first page, there's an image of Superman flying out of his apartment in another building, and Lex Luthor has this kryptonite cannon that's firing out these kryptonite shells, and he's just drilling, I mean, just hitting Superman with these kryptonite shells that are bouncing off him. And Superman's like, oh, what's Lex Luthor doing here? Basically, the comic book was trying to say that if Superman's identity was known or people knew where Superman lived, that they would come and try to hurt him. But Lex fly out of the window of his apartment and just attack him with some lame-ass cannon. The TD Dubs is demanding that you give me an extra 3 minutes because it's St. Patrick's Day, and as an Irishman, I'm entitled to my extra 3 minutes.
I feel like we should cut him
today
off right
the day
now.
That Jesus conquered
it doesn't
Ireland.
Mean anything. My last name is Patrick.
So Action Comics 305, that's where I ended. 3 minute stretch bomb. You better make this happen. Anyway, my last complaint will be Retribution. A comic by Creative Elements, which was published around 2006. It's an extremely hard-to-find comic. However, if you find it, it is awesomely bad, because Retribution, the hero of this novel, who's a cross between Papa Shango, the infamous WWF heel, and Lion-O of the Thundercats, fights crime on the streets of New Orleans. And in the first comic, he's going up against an evil voodoo master, and the evil voodoo master decides to send these rabid animals after Retribution. And there's this panel where there's this rabid dog, cat, bird, snake, and horse chasing the hero. It's awesomely bad. The 3 minutes better be awesomely bad. And finally, I will state for the record that in a recent discussion on the week, it is not right for people to give themselves their own nicknames. thumbs down to all of you who violate the nickname code.
It's true.
I'm the TD Dubs.
Except for Lord Steven.
Joe and Matt call me the TD Dubs.
That's not his nickname.
We must inflict pain and punishment for those people who give themselves nicknames. God bless you all. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Jesus is coming back. Amen.
Yeah, but that's actually kind of funny.
To be fair, Lord Steven gave himself a title, not a nickname. It's different. He didn't be like, I'm going to be Night Razor or something, you know, like... We'd be like, no, sorry, farty pants. Check it out, Tony. Nobody gets to come on this show and make demands.
That's right.
So we're going to chop the hell out of your calls.
Oh, yeah. By the time you are hearing our voices, our other listeners are not going to have any clue what the hell you were talking about.
They're
going
to think you are out of your mind. Let's move on to somebody who knows how to get it done in 1 minute and 10 seconds, Mr. Aaron Myers. They don't call him Speedy for nothing.
I'm sure his wife appreciates it.
Yeah.
Ooh. Hey-o!
Ooh, wow.
Hey, guys. It's Aaron Myers, Jason Lovelace, and former co-host of the Comic Therapy Podcast. Anyway, sorry.
They're really working this.
Again this week. And it's probably really loud because I'm in the car, but I wanted to get an entry in before the cutoff. 6 weeks. So, anyway. I did not give this a ton of thought, or I did, but nothing super came to mind. But the first thing that comes to mind for me is pretty ridiculous. And there are a lot of these kind of ridiculous spots in Spider-Man. But when Doc Ock marries or tries to marry Aunt May to get the nuclear power plant that she inherited, that's a pretty ridiculous complex going. So that's what comes to mind first and foremost, and this is my official entry for this week. All right, hopefully be back on track next week with lots of cool sound effects. I'll try a new one for this week.
That was cool. That one was cool.
Yeah, now, that was intense.
To be fair, I'd love to know how you would like to take over a nuclear power plant without buying it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, those things are probably really expensive.
And they don't just give them to people unless you inherit them.
Yeah, I would totally marry a broad for a nuclear power plant. I don't even care if she's super old. Even better, she'd be dead soon, you know?
Aaron, thanks for calling in. Condolences on the loss of your podcast.
Yeah, it's too bad, man. I'm really sorry to hear about
this. Sure am going to miss Comics Therapy.
I got offered the job, but the money was terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it was bad. Ladies and gentlemen, special treat here. Occasional co-host Dave DeMarco called us with an answer. Let's see what he's got.
Two-headed nerd with Joe and Matt. This is Dave. And the dumbest supervillain plot that I can think of is the Beetle, who took airplane parts, built a suit with sustained winged flight, and decided that the best thing to do with said suit would be to rob banks, rather than to sell it on the open market to mountain climbers and pilots and whoever. He could have made billions of dollars. SHIELD. Sell it to SHIELD. They have those clunky mandroids. Nope. Rob an armored car, get 10,000, 20,000 tops, get beat up by Spider-Man, go to jail. Dumb. Love the show. Keep doing what you're doing. Bye-bye.
The same could be said for a lot of Spider-Man villains. Like, a lot of these guys came up with some bad-ass stuff, yeah. And then they're like, I'm going to go make $1,000, you know?
So much so that Marvel had to have an entire miniseries explaining.
The Secret War.
Yeah, like, these guys were bankrolled, essentially, by Latveria.
Yeah, because it's just ludicrous. Like, time out. The Shocker just threw this together, you know?
Yeah, my second favorite, who he essentially has the exact same origin as the Beetle, is the 80s villain Slide, who invented...
S-L-Y-D-E. It was the 80s. Late 80s.
Who invented a truly frictionless nonstick formula, like, you know, for pans.
Right.
Because that was the big thing back then, was like Teflon pans.
Well, people were sick of their eggs sticking to their
right,
pans.
Right, right. And so he created this goop. For whatever reason, he was not immediately a millionaire. It was probably poison. I don't know. And
at least caustic.
He sprayed a wetsuit with it and decided to rob banks.
He decided he was going to slide around.
Yeah.
And rob banks.
Spider-Man's webbing wouldn't stick to it.
Nope.
It's like, man, I sure hope nobody casts a web line across your path and trips you or any other number of simple ways to stop you slide. Thanks for calling in, Dave. Calling live from the heart of Legend Comics and Coffee on New Comic Book Day.
Let's move right along to the ever-shrinking MP3 crew. We only got three.
It's sad.
Seriously, you guys.
Where are you guys?
This is a fun question. Come on. And I know none of you have lives or anything to do. So let's get to Randy Andrews. He does. He certainly doesn't have
case in point, Randy Andrews.
Hey, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews with the question of the week. You asked, what is the silliest, dumbest, most ridiculous supervillain plot you can remember? Well, I think of the movie The World Is Not Enough. Yes, it's a James Bond movie. Yes, there's a supervillain. There isn't really a threat here. Nuclear submarine. Check. Critical overload. Check. Why? Not answered, really. The villain was supposed to be a terrorist that can't feel pain and some girl who wants a pipeline to have her name on it. Really? Well, you heard it from me. That I think that's a pretty dumb plot for a movie. Especially for a supervillain that knows that he's gonna die in the end. Anyway, hope you like my answer. Talk to you later, guys. Bye-bye.
I can't speak to The World Is Not Enough because I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
It's Pierce Brosnan, right?
The World Is Not Enough would have been Pierce Brosnan, yeah. Right. But I might be confusing it with Tomorrow Never Dies, which is the one where the villain was the media mogul. It was Jonathan Pryce, and he was like, the king of television.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember. I don't know anything about
Goldeneye was the only one that I really liked with Brosnan.
Yeah, and that had Famke Janssen who twisted dude's heads off with her sexy thighs.
And wasn't Russian. Let's move along to first-time MP3-er Ian Eppenbaugh. Welcome aboard, Ian.
It's about, yeah, buddy.
About damn time. Ian signs his emails, the universe is big. It's vast and complicated and ridiculous. I like that.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. It's Ian, a.k.a. Fate3000 on the Twitter. That's P-H-A-Y-T-E 3000.
Clever.
I am calling in with my answer to the question of the week. That question being, what is the lamest, dumbest, most idiotic supervillain plot in all of comics or film or what have you? Now, for my answer, I want to take us back to what I call the before time. It was a simpler time. It was the year 1992. And the film Batman Returns had just come out. Now, this film began the trend of introducing multiple villains in our comic book films. And in this film, I want to focus specifically on one Max Schreck, the CEO of the Schreck's department stores, as portrayed by Christopher Walken. Now, in this film, he had a plan of ostensibly building a power plant that would provide power to Gotham, but what it was really going to do was siphon power from Gotham and store it, and then it would sell it back to Gotham or other cities and towns, thus ensuring his legacy remained intact and impressive and whatever. But he kept being stifled by the mayor, and so then he eventually got captured and blackmailed by the Penguin, and then they allied with the Penguin, and then he thought, hey, I'm going to use this Birdman and make him mayor so that I can get my power plant approved. And eventually that plan backfires and he betrays the Penguin and then he gets captured and ultimately killed. Now, my objections to his plan, well, first of all, let's talk about a department store branching out into the energy business. This would be like a Macy's department store starting its own line of power plants. So when you would call them, it'd be like, thank you for calling Macy's. Would you like menswear, shoes, or utilities? I mean, it's just a ridiculous notion. Second of all, I imagine the Department of Energy, even then, would have some issues with this. And because they have some very, very smart people working for them, we'll be able to tell in the plans or whatever, like, hey, your power is going the other direction kind of thing. I'm assuming there would be a lot of issues there from a legal standpoint. And then you have your other power utility companies in Gotham that would probably also object to this, and there would be industrial sabotage and things like that. So there's a lot of issues with this plan. I don't think he thought this through. But then again, he did found the Gotham equivalent of Macy's, so I don't think he was really more of a Lex Luthor kind of super intelligence and awesome. There were obviously lots of other problems with his plans and the Penguin's plans, but those are my objections to his immediate plan, and I will leave it at that. I look forward to calling again in the future, and thank you very much.
mad props for the Batman Returns soundtrack in the background. Although, I mean, come on. If Shrek's plan gets, like, shot down by the Oversight Committee and shelved, doesn't make for much of a movie, does it?
You know? That's true. Like, you know what else doesn't make for much of a movie?
But this is insane. No.
It did not occur to me. I'm going to be real honest. I did not remember that Max Shrek's whole deal was like wanted to steal power from Gotham and all that crap.
And sell it back to him.
I thought he just wanted to get political power.
No, well, I mean, he wanted that too, I guess, but he wanted everything. He was power mad. He was a crazy billionaire.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's Christopher Walken.
And he had weird, beefy son. Like, be careful, Dad.
Wow.
Get out of here, Dad. Our final MP3. Comes from Bradley J. Tim. The subject to his email was question of the mother flippin' week, son, with an exclamation point. I like that. I like that.
Now, surely there are a bazillion and six ridiculous ploys by villains in comics. Stiltman alone was guaranteed to embarrass himself whenever he showed up. As much as I wanted to keep my answer in the pages, I had to go with something I have seen on screen. Gentlemen, you sound venerable enough to remember a little film by Mel Brooks called Spaceballs. Perhaps you remember the sordid details of Operation Suck. Apparently, planet Spaceballs and all of their respective spacefaring installations were running low on the good stuff, air. So President Scroob orders a comically elongated battleship to planet Druidia to suck the air right out of the atmosphere, even though it had some sort of a shield with the combination 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Naturally, the ship transforms into a gigantic maid and proceeds to vacuum the air
Mega
out of
maid,
the planet.
To be exact.
This would have to be probably one of the most ridiculous plots ever. And I wanted to give it a little callback, but a close runner-up would have to be the Umbrella Corporation in Resident Evil. I mean, how did they think they were going to control the world by whipping up and releasing a tenacious, rapidly evolving virus that turns everybody into horrible monsters? If I was in those boardroom meetings at the get-go, I would have been the first one raising my hand. Sir, I appreciate that you are bent on making Cronenbergian body horror, but how sound is that market, really? Anyway, guys, this is Doc Flux, Feed It Comics. Thanks for using my question, and keep the ziggurat warm for my master.
Whoa. I don't know what that means. Sounds like a sex thing, though.
Sounds like a weird sex thing.
Not going to sit here and listen to you talk trash about Spaceballs. And it was supposed to be ridiculous. It was a Mel Brooks film. He makes ridiculous comedy. It was hilarious.
It's okay, though. It is still silly.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I have the same combination on my luggage.
Sounds like an idiot's luggage combination. Now, Resident Evil, totally go with you here. Like, nobody raised their hand and was just like, hold on. It was like a meeting of the underwear gnomes in South Park. They're like, step one, steal underwear. Step two, we're not sure of. Step three, profit. <You know? laughs> I totally agree. And they never explained what they were doing. And it wasn't an accident either. It wasn't like the technology got away from them. No, this was all part of their plan. Like, the whole thing. Like, we destroyed humanity. We destroyed the Earth. And, like, you wanted to be the only corporation left standing? I don't know. I'm not really certain.
That's how you get power.
Joe Patrick, do you have any answer to this question?
Oh, you're going to make me go first.
I can go first. Want me to go first? Well, mine's pretty short and simple.
Lay it on me, then.
Okay, and it's not even so much of a plan. It's more of a villain's mission statement, right? And specifically, I'm talking about a group of villains. I'm talking about Cobra. G.I. Joe's nemesis, Cobra.
Are you going to steal my answer?
Really? Is that what I'm doing?
Go ahead.
Cobra's whole mission was to take over the world. That was it.
Yeah.
There was no, we want to steal all the oil, we want to get rich. They just wanted to take over the world. There was no order. There was no mission. There was no... And supposedly, they had a billion members. Like, that was like...
Yeah, spoiler alert. If you have a billion members, you win.
It's somebody in G.I. Joe is working for Cobra if you've got a billion members. You know, like, at least one person. And so they're the best funded terrorist group in the world with no direction whatsoever. Like, imagine if... Terrorist group X was like, our mission is to blow up this American, you know, naval base because we're mad at America. We're tired of their Western aggression. Well, okay, somebody's going to be like, I'm mad at America too. That makes sense. I'll throw some money at you. We'll go do that. I'm not saying it's a good thing, and I'm not saying do that. Cobra was just, their financial backers were like, so what are we funding here? And like, well, you know, evil. There was no plan. There was nothing. They had, not to mention the fact they had a cackling moron in charge of them who was somehow the greatest fundraiser in the history of the earth. You know, and like two super rich twins that finished each other's sentences and dressed like idiots. And I believe they were also like trapeze masters? Tomax and Zaymot or something like that? They were like...
Tomax and Zaymot. They were like twins. They felt each other's pain.
They were circus billionaires or something.
I don't remember.
You know, there has never been a more like inefficient, ridiculous terrorist unit out there than Cobra. They built weather dominators. They built...
No, listen. The weather dominator is great. If you have a device that controls the weather, hooray for you.
It's a great idea.
Or the mass device, which teleports things. Hooray.
Right. Great idea. But... what are you going to do with it?
One of the...
what is the plan? I don't understand.
One of their biggest plans was to take over a franchise of fast food eateries called Red Rocket.
Oh, yes.
And make the rockets on the fast food restaurants actual missiles. What?
And launch them
for?
Launch them where? You have a billion members. You're going to blow up somebody that works for you. Right. You know?
Cobra.
So yeah. Like if the entire nation of China united and were like, let's go whoop some ass. Yeah, right. Like, you, there's no stopping them, man. But if they all united to whoop some ass and then they were like, let's just generically whoop ass, someone would be like, why? Wait, whose ass? Wait a minute.
And they have future technology and they're descended from an ancient mystical city.
Yes.
Sounds like China to me.
Pretty much. There was my Cobra rant. I always had, so even as a kid, I remember watching G.I. Joe and just being like, G.I. Joe makes sense. They're there to stop Cobra. I get that. Cobra's bad guys. But, like, they're just bad to be bad.
Right.
They're just, like, all natural-born supervillains with terrible names. Like, their parents knew they were going to be evil when they grew up.
You know, this is a fun question, but it's kind of hard to narrow it down. My number one answer is for sure Gene Hackman's real estate plot in Superman, the movie.
Okay.
I am going to launch nuclear devices at the coasts, at California, hit the San Andreas Fault, knock California into the ocean, and then all of the property I bought up on the other side of the fault is going to be beachfront property, baby.
Beachfront, irradiated property.
You will never live to monetize that property.
Beachfront property that you can't visit for the next 5,000 years.
So... I won't say any more about it other than to say that Kevin Spacey in Superman Returns one-ups it because he has essentially the same plan.
I forgot about this.
He has essentially the same plan, but instead of knocking a part of America off the map and buying up real estate, he creates his own island out of kryptonite.
Yeah.
Which is going to cause a tidal wave that wipes out the entire eastern seaboard.
And he's going to rule from said island. He's going to Vasco da Gama.
And then
he's going to show up, plant the Lex Luthor flag, and be like, mine. And and the whole world's going to be like, well, you got there first.
And then people will have to pay exorbitant fees to visit for the privilege of visiting Lex Luthor's radioactive death island. I don't really see that happening.
I've already booked my ticket.
Yeah, that is like my favorite cheesy supervillain plan. I love Dave's Beetle answer.
I love that both of those were Lex Luthor plans. Yeah. Like the most brilliant man on the planet. But the writers could really only come up with this. You know?
I came up with a couple of fun ones that doing research for this.
Oh, what about when Cobra was going to draw the Cobra symbol on the moon? They were going to shoot a laser and draw the cobra symbol on the moon.
Are you confusing it with The Tick, where Chairface Chippendale was going to write his name on the moon?
No, they were doing that was a play on it. Cobra was going to draw the cobra symbol on the moon, and we'd all look up at night and be like, they won.
I guess I'll join Cobra.
Yeah, turns out I've been working for him for 14 years. I didn't even know.
So when I was doing research for this and looking up plots, I found a couple of great ones. One of them is from the Catwoman movie, which I never saw. Sharon Stone is the villain in the Catwoman movie.
God.
And apparently her master plan is to make beauty products, sell them on the market, and then if a woman or man or whoever starts to use these products but then stops, it turns them into a hideous monster. So they are forced to use it forever.
Yeah, you're addicted, man.
It's not that you're addicted. It's that you will be disfigured.
It's insidious, dude.
And I feel like somebody at the FDA or wherever, whoever regulates this would be...
You're giving them way too much credit.
Would
the FDA? Morons. All of them.
I have to feel like somewhere along the line, somebody would say, you know what? I wonder if these cosmetics have anything to do
with this.
This is
back when there was zero oversight.
This was like 2001.
No. Remember how many people dropped dead from cosmetics all the time back then?
Just to wrap it up with one more, since Dwight took my answer, I wanted to give a couple extra like honorable mentions.
Sure, this is fun. We're having fun.
The Clone Saga.
Oh, God.
Spider-Man's Clone Saga.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Star Wars.
No, that's the Clone Wars.
Sorry.
Spider-Man's Clone Saga was ultimately revealed like 25 years later to be a plan by Norman Osborn, the Green Goblin, just to cause Spider-Man grief.
You can't say that it wasn't a massive pain in the ass for him.
I'm going to bankroll this crazy scientist, have him perfect the human cloning process, create a carbon copy of my sworn nemesis.
Specifically to be a dick to him.
Just so that he gets real sad about it.
Yeah. What if I made a Joe Patrick that was running around being a jerk? You would be devastated.
I would be. I would be really upset.
Right? Like on the internet saying gnarly stuff.
I'm upset just thinking about
it. Yeah, I know, right?
The ultimate like, haha, Norman Osborn, I gotcha, is that at the end of the Clone Saga, when Ben Reilly became Spider-Man and Peter Parker and Mary Jane went off into the sunset.
Didn't read it.
They revealed Peter Parker is the clone.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
So they revealed that Peter, the Peter Parker that we've been reading about since the actual first original clone story.
Was that Tom DeFalco?
It was a lot of guys.
Okay.
It was a lot of guys.
No, but I mean specifically responsible for the Peter is the clone thing.
Oh, that I could not tell you.
Because I feel like people drove by Marvel offices and like threw bricks through windows and like.
That I don't know.
People were pissed.
So the original clone issue, it was only supposed to be like one or two issues. It was an Amazing Spider-Man 150.
It ended up lasting 9 years.
It didn't though. It didn't. It wasn't revisited until many years later.
Right.
They said that the Peter that you've been reading about, that we've been following since that original Clone Saga, has been the clone all along. The Peter that married Mary Jane.
Boy, oh, 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 oh,
the Peter that became Captain Universe and got cosmic powers, that all that stuff.
Thing.
And that Ben Reilly was the clone. And rather than letting that cause tremendous mental anguish and suffering, it gave Peter Parker, Norman Osborn's sworn nemesis, a chance to escape his life as Spider-Man and ride off into the sunset with his beautiful pregnant wife and live happily ever after.
How'd that turn out?
It didn't. I mean, ultimately, Marvel rescinded it.
Not so great.
Well, the fans would not allow it.
They're just like, all right, this sounds great.
But that was like, the reaction to Norman's plan was Peter Parker gets to live happily ever after. It's a failure. Mm-hmm. Not only is it a terrible, convoluted, complicated plan, but it failed.
Yes.
Which is makes it really silly.
Also part of a terrible, convoluted, complicated story.
It ran way too long.
I was going to mention the Clone Wars from Star Wars. The Emperor's whole plan was to have a secret place where we make a bunch of clones of this Kiwi dude, from Boba Fett's dad. We clone him a billion times or whatever. And then we send a couple Jedis out to investigate. Well, wait a minute. What's going on here? And they find a bunch of clones and they go... And the Emperor had the foresight to know that the Jedis would be so stupid that they would go, there's a clone army here that we know nothing about. We should bring them home and make them work for us. Because there's no way that when we're not looking, the emperor is going to go shapoopy, and the secret code word is going to go off in their brain, and they'll shoot us in the back.
But, I mean, but that doesn't actually happen, right?
Yeah. Yes. The emperor set up the clones. He had them create the clone army.
No, I get all that, but...
Mr. Fett.
But the clones...
Fett Sr.
did not have, like, programming. They did not...
Yeah. There was a mission in their brain, and it was kill the Jedis. That was part of the deal. And when they were all in one place, the Emperor was like, give the order, whatever. And then they like just shot him in the back. Like, the Jedis were like, let's go! And the clones went, fuck you! And just killed him.
I have not seen the prequel movies in many years.
It was so dumb. It was not only just like the most ham-fisted plot ever, but it relied on shit that you could not foresee, such as... the good guys completely going along with it.
You know? Well, I mean, they're just going to throw these clones out.
Yeah.
We might as well take them home and use them before they go bad.
We should eat them. No, we're not going to eat them. We're going to use them. Just stupid. Okay, we got way off track, but that was fun. I had a really good time. We had a few less calls, so you guys got to listen to us a little longer.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that's a good thing.
That's what you all pay for.
Thanks a lot, guys. We'll be back this weekend with another episode of Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast. And, of course, there will be a new Question of the Week up this Friday. Who knows? Joe Patrick might even ask me for a little input on it.
What for?
Who knows?
What good are you?
We'll see you this weekend, guys.
Hey, nerds. If you've got an answer to the Question of the Week, you can call THN at the Ziggurat direct line and leave your message at 402-819-4894. Or using the Skype username, Two-Headed Nerd. And if you're too shy or have just too much to say at once, you can write your message under the Answer of the Week section of the THN forums.